Let me just pray. Oh Lord God, we just come to you today and we ask that you speak into our lives afresh and new. Lord, speak through your word as you have for so many years. Through the days, through the weeks, through the years, through the decades, through the centuries, through the millennia, your word has spoken to men and women through all ages. Lord, we ask that your Holy Spirit opens up our hearts and minds to hear it fresh and anew for us today. Lord, we just pray this in your holy name. Amen. Well, morning, church. Excellent. Good. We've got that off to a good start. We actually come together today, and I'm aware that some of our hearts may be carrying a mixture of emotions. On one hand, Christmas is drawing close. And as we said, you know, some people are ready for Christmas, others are not quite as ready. It's a time that we usually associate with love, with joy, with hope, with peace, with fun, festivities. On the other hand, our community is still reeling from the shock and sadness of the modern day shootings. Many of us feel a little unsettled, perhaps even vulnerable at this point, as we try to actually make sense of senseless violence that has happened in our own backyard. What makes it even more real for us is that just last week we were gathered outside, just on the grass out there, singing carols, Christmas carols, singing about light and peace and joy and goodwill to everybody, about the hope of Christmas found in Jesus, as the news was breaking of the terror at Bondi. And the contrast in my mind is so jarring. While we celebrate, others are experiencing fear and loss and panic and dread and terror. It reminds us of how quickly life can change and how much we need the hope that Christmas promises. Now, you might be wondering why we have our reading from Isaiah today. And let me just say, the Isaiah reading that I'm going to focus on today from Isaiah 7 verses 10 through to 16 is actually one of those readings that's set down in the what's known as the Revised Common Lectionary. Now, and for the Revised Common Lectionary, a bunch of scholars, theological and biblical scholars, get together and go, and set down four different readings across each of the days of the church calendar year. And for this year, they said for this Sunday, we should read from Isaiah 7, chapter 7, verses 10 to 16. And it's the prophecy of the birth of Jesus to the Virgin Mary. They also did have the New Testament version of Matthew's the birth of Jesus, and how you've got the prophecy and the fulfillment of the prophecy. But here we actually are going to focus just on the Isaiah and focus on how that can speak to us afresh and new for us, and how if we actually understand a little bit of the framework of it, it will speak to us even more powerfully today about the promise of Jesus. Isaiah spoke to the people here. He's speaking to the people here who are facing their own fears and own uncertainties. King Ahaz and the people of Judah were actually surrounded by threats and unsure of what the future was going to hold. And yet into that anxiety, that uncertainty, that tension they have, God gives a promise of the Messiah, a promise of Jesus being born, of God with us. And, you know, the word that Isaiah uses is Emmanuel, which means that God will be here with us. And as we listen to these ancient words, let's reflect on what it means for God to be with us right here and right now, today. In the midst of joy and in the midst of sorrow. My prayer for us today is, is that the promise of Jesus will be with us, that God will be with us. We will actually experience God's presence with us. And that presence will bring us comfort, will bring us courage, and will continue to help us prepare ourselves to remember and celebrate the birth of Jesus at Christmas. So we're going to dive into the text as set down by the Revised Common Lectionary into Isaiah chapter 7, verses 10 to 16. And it's one of Isaiah's prophecies of the Messiah that Jesus fulfills. But I want to set this scene for you. Isaiah is basically coming to King Ahaz and giving him a sermon. So he's coming into the court of the king and telling him what for. He's giving a prophecy. He's going, this is what it is. And this is set in the 8th century before Christ, a scene of international politics. That fear that has been induced into the people of Judah and the king Ahaz. Let me just say there are three main international characters that are at play here, just so that you can kind of understand it. The king of Judah, which is Ahaz, which is Isaiah is giving the prophecy to, is actually preaching to. There's the king of Israel, Pekah, and the king of Aram, Rezin. And that they're all of the kind of big international players that all are causing tension and causing threats of war to be there. And we were reminded that the kingdoms of Judah and Israel were once together, but have been separated. They've been split. They split after King Solomon. And so you have the northern kingdom of Israel, which is called Israel, and you've got the southern kingdom, which is Judah. And the northern kingdom, Israel, and Aram, that which is actually a non-Israelite kingdom, are joining together to attack Judah, to come and attack Jerusalem, the capital. And they do this because apparently Judah refused to participate in a coalition against the northern Mesopotamian powers of Assyria. So in other words, they're coming to attack them because they didn't want to attack somebody else. Does it sound horrible? It's no wonder that Ahaz, the king of Judah, and his people were terrified. They stand at a crossroad of fear, feeling exposed and alone. And into this high-stakes moment, God sends Isaiah not to the king of great faith, but to one that is trembling in doubt. Ahaz is not the hero that we might actually expect. He struggles to believe, to trust, and to hope in God. And yet this is where God's message arrives, right in the midst of fear, uncertainty, in weakness. God does not wait for the perfect fate. He meets us where we are. He met Ahaz where he was, and he will meet us where we are. God offers a promise of hope, of presence. God offers Emmanuel, God with us. It's not only a word for the ancient Judean people, but it's for us who feel overwhelmed, who might be struggling with life. This is good news. God's faithfulness does not depend on our strength. It didn't depend on King Ahaz's strength as a king. It didn't depend on Judah's strength as a people. It depended on God's strength. And for us as well, in this time, we can depend on God's strength. We can depend on God's love and God's mercy. So when we read this prophecy of the birth of Jesus, of the virgin birth of Jesus, we actually can find comfort in this. We can find comfort in the promise that God is with us. It's a comfort that helps us face our fears. So what I want to do is share with you again, as we reflect upon this passage from Isaiah, I want to share with you the passage. I'll put the whole section I want to read in it, just up to verse 14 where it has the prophecy there. And I want us to hear how Ahaz responds and what Isaiah says to him in that process. And it says, again, the Lord spoke to Ahaz, Ask the Lord your God for a sign, whether in the deepest depths or in the highest heights. But Ahaz said, I will not ask. I will not put the Lord to the test. Then Uzziah said, hear now, you house of David. Notice that he uses that, you know, you are in the lineage of King David, the house of David. So he's one of the kings. It is not enough to try the patience of humans. Will you try the patience of God also? Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and we will call him Emmanuel. So let me ask you this. Here is King Ahaz facing a situation that seems out of control. What should he do when he feels out of control, when something is beyond his control? What would we do if we felt out of control and things were beyond our control? We would say, oh, turn to God immediately. Turn to God in prayer and trust. Ahaz should have done that, but rather, he demonstrated his tendencies not to do that. Instead, he wanted to trust in his own strength and his own prowess, and he actually went to another kingdom to go and ask them for help rather than seeking God. And into that, Uzziah brings this prophecy. Ask if anything, God will be with you. And Ahaz, instead of trusting God and asks for a sign, says in his own kind of righteousness, how dare I ask, a sense of religious piety, that he rejects asking for a sign from God, even though when he's asked, ask for God's sign. King Ahaz, when faced with fear and uncertainty, couldn't bring himself to trust God. He refused to ask for that sign, but notice God's heart in this story. Notice what God says through Uzziah. Even when the king refuses, even when Ahaz refuses, the Lord in his goodness and mercy actually still gives a sign. A sign for all who are willing to look for him. A sign that God is with us, and that is found in Christ Jesus. Israel declares it, a virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and we will call him Emmanuel. This is not just an ordinary event. It is a miracle that points to God's redemption that comes through history. And you also got to remember that this is speaking into the people's heritage. Remember that Abraham and Sarah, how God had brought life where there was no life, and a nation was born through them. And that this is the people that Uzziah is speaking to, the nation that has been born from God's intervention and bringing life from no life. And the sign that Uzziah says even is going to be even greater. God himself will come near to us, be born into our world, Jesus, the one who is called Emmanuel, which means God with us. And this is the hope that we actually cling to, and especially in times of fear, that God does not abandon us, that God actually moves towards us, breaks into our human history with love and power. So what does it mean for us as we remember and celebrate Christmas again in a time this year that is marred by the tragedy that has happened at Bondi? I want to give you a couple of practical things that are the biblical in nature on how we respond to tragedies and how we respond especially to acts of violence. And the first you will know undoubtedly think is like a simple thing. The first is to actually admit the evil that's happened. But we actually live in a world where people will dismiss those things, dismiss or downplay. We actually need to name the act for what it is. that is sinful. It is horrible. It is terrible. And in Proverbs, it actually tells us to name the act for what it is, that the unlawful shedding of blood. In Proverbs 6, we'll find that. So to actually name it is an important step for us, not to hide ourselves away, not to cloister ourselves and go, the world is out there and we're not going to even recognize it, but to name it and state it and to be a people that will stand up and say, this is wrong. The second is, and is what the government has actually asked us to do today, is to actually grieve and lament what has happened. To actually let our sorrow be poured out publicly and remember. And we do that in solidarity with one another. Lamentations 2 verse 11 helps us as Jeremiah pours out his sorrow towards God, we too pour out our sorrow for the tragedy that has happened at Bondi. So there are two things that we can do. The third thing is we can refuse to actually take part in any kind of retaliation. Notice that. Do not repay evil for evil is what Romans 12 tells us. So often when something bad happens, what do we want to do? Strike out, lash out. That is not what we are called to do. To refuse to do that. And I think importantly, amongst that refusal, we then need to actually seek justice. You know, Romans 13 verse 4 actually talks about, you know, supporting the lawful authorities in punishing the wrongdoers, rather than us trying to do it. Let the authorities do it. And I think the next one really is really powerful for us, is that we need to find a way to protect the innocent. That this has happened, and we need to be people that are willing, as people of faith, to stand up and protect the innocent. To protect those people that would be the victims of hatred, would be the victims of racism. You know, earlier this week, I sent out an email on behalf of the ministry team to all of us and saying that as a church, that we stand against all forms of racism. Not just anti-Semitic behaviour, but all forms of racism. We shouldn't be dividing society based on race, based on religion, based on the things that will divide us. And so as people of faith, we should be standing up and against those things. And this brings me to the sixth point, because as we do that, we should be extending Christ's love to those around us. In Matthew 5 verse 44, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Love your neighbour as yourself. That's what we have, extending Christ's love to those around us. So we open our doors, we open our hearts, we open our lives to those that may be feeling lost and lonely, that may be feeling the effects of what's happened. We give love, not hatred. We break down the walls of hatred and racism and fear by being willing to open dialogue and discussion and extending love. And finally, what we do is we anchor everything in the hope of God. Psalm 9 verse 8, it says that he will judge the world in its righteousness, God will. But we trust that God will do that perfectly for us. God will do that in his power. Let us remember that what Isaiah's prophecy revealed, that even times of stress and tension and war that is going around, we may feel that in ourselves when we look at the world and the news and the activities that have happened, the things, the tragedy that's happened at Bondi. We may be going, how can we feel that God is with us? But God is. The prophecy there that God invites us to trust him, even when fear and uncertainty is there, that God will surround us with love and hope. The promise of Emmanuel, God with us, is always there. It's not just for ancient history. It is a living reality for us today. No matter how impossible our circumstances may seem, we are never alone. God enters into our struggles, into our doubts, into our pain, bringing hope where there seems to be none, bringing light where there is darkness. And we do that through ourselves, through trusting in God and God's promise that Jesus is always with us. I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to invite you, as you feel able and if you would like to come and be in solidarity with all those people who are struggling today, who are remembering, who have seen the devastation. That we light a candle in remembrance of the tragedy, and we want to bring the light of Christ to all those around us and the hope that is there. Let me just pray. Well, Lord God, we just ask you today that as we hear the message and the prophecy of Jesus, that as we come into this moment and we're looking towards Christmas and the celebrations, Lord, let us acknowledge with hearts that are open the sorrow that is apparent, the tension that has been made real, and the hatred that has been perpetrated. But Lord, let us not sit into that place. Let us seek you more deeply. Let us seek you more earnestly. Let us praise you because you are always there with us. Lord, we give you thanks for the courage of people that stepped into dangerous situations. We give you thanks for people that have cared for those that have been injured. We give you praise for those people who are willing to sacrifice to serve others. Lord God, help us in this moment to respond to the evil and the violence with acts of love and acts of hope. Oh Lord, we ask this in your holy name. Amen. So I invite you, as you're able, the band will come up and we'll actually start the next song after this, after a little moment, to come and light a candle from one of the candles, to place it into any of these trays, and to remember that Christ brings light into our world.